Good morning. Feeling like that lacked some of the usual fire. Are you a little bit tired? Mary, did you know? That song has rather quickly become a staple of the Christmas season. You know, it's only been around since 1991, but we feel like it's been forever, don't we? Its haunting melody and its soaring climaxes give it a power and a memorability that are almost timeless at this point. And yet, every year I look online and I see and I laugh at the memes that are posted by people railing against that song. Because some see it as espousing poor bibliology. Because why would you even ask that question? Of course, Mary knew who her baby was. An angel of God told her. I used to be in that camp a little bit myself, but I've come to reconsider, because perhaps the question, Mary, did you know, is not really posed to Mary for her sake, but for ours. Because consider something that we do. When we learn something surprising or unexpectedly good, or unfortunately, those among us who are prone to gossip will do it when we hear things that are exceptionally bad or negative, right? But how many of us have been in such a hurry to share our findings that we'll grab a friend and say, "Hey, did you know? Did you hear? Hey, did you know that the price of gas dropped overnight?" That used to be, you know, a few years ago, that was a lot more mind-blowing than it is right now. But, or, "Hey, did you know that so-and-so are having a baby?" So on and so forth. Anytime we hear something like that, it's not that we're assuming that everyone else is in the dark, right? It's just that it's our way of expressing our own wonder or joy at some news that has come our way. We just have to share it. And that's how we do it. It's rhetorical. "Did you hear? Did you know?" And so too my friends all over who get riled up about the supposed poor theology of Mary, "Did you know?" I want to suggest, first of all, get over it. Secondly, consider a different mindset. Because maybe the singer of the song isn't asking if she was aware, but rather maybe the singer is so amazed by who Jesus really is that this is just their way of sharing that realization, that news. Because from our scripture today, I can tell you definitively that Mary knew who Jesus is. The answer to the question, "Mary, did you know?" is unequivocally yes. But a more important question to ask today is, do you know who Jesus is? Do you know? Let's look to chapter 1 of the Gospel of Luke to see just who Jesus is and to remember just how amazing this child is who was born at Christmas. So amazing that when we really understand who he is, we will also want to go ask the world, "Hey, did you know?" and fill in the blank. So again, we'll be in the first chapter of Luke's Gospel, beginning with verse 26 and reading through verse 38. And while you're turning, will you stand together as you're able in reverence for the reading of the divinely inspired Word of God? So then, Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26, the Word of God says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived in her a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the detail in it, Lord, that you teach us everything we need to know to point us to Jesus. But Lord, more than that, particularly here at Christmas time, as it is upon us this week, Lord, we thank you for your word that became flesh and dwelt among us. We thank you for sending Jesus. Lord, today as we look to your word, and as we ponder, Lord, help us to see and appreciate and recognize just exactly who Jesus is. Because, Lord, that realization, that truth, changes everything. It's a life-transforming truth. Lord, by your Spirit, help it to permeate deep within each of us today and fill us with a desire, an awe, a wonder, so that as we go from this place, we will go to everyone we meet and say, Hey, did you know who Jesus is? Let me tell you. Lord, let it so be for your honor and glory, for the glory of your name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So 6 months after Elizabeth conceived John the Baptist, an angel comes to visit a young woman named Mary, and we're familiar with this story. This young woman was betrothed to Joseph, so they were legally bound, but not yet consummated in marriage. Now, Joseph was of the house of David, but it's interesting to note that Mary was also. Matthew 1 and Luke 3 both detail Jesus' lineage, yet they're different. And that's not a contradiction, because what it tells us is that Luke's gospel, we can see from it, he focuses much on Mary. And even in that lineage, he says that Jesus was the son, as was supposed, of Joseph. That little inclusio, that as was supposed, indicates that Luke recognized that Joseph is not the birth father. And yet, being a physician by trade, he continues to recount the biological lineage that he knows to be true, that of Jesus' mother. Both Mary and Joseph are descended from David. That's really cool if you think about it. Mary is descended from David's son, Nathan, while Joseph is descended from Solomon. So he was Davidic biologically in fulfillment of God's promise, but he also by adoption was part of the royal line to fulfill God's promise. Only God could work that out. But in any case, at this point, Mary is not yet united to Joseph, and the angel Gabriel comes to tell her that she's going to have a son. Now, this seems impossible, seeing that Mary is a virgin. And even Mary herself asks, How can this be, since I don't know a man, I've never known a man. But Gabriel reminds her that nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible for God. And he tells her what she is to name the child and what kind of man he will be. Now keep in mind with this that as a faithful Jew, Mary would be familiar with the Scriptures. As a woman, she may not have had the opportunity to study the law like men did, but all Jewish children were taught the history and the basic tenets of the law and the prophets. So just by virtue of being from a faithful Jewish family, Mary would have been far more familiar with the Scriptures than most of us are today. Think about that. A teenage girl knew more of the Scriptures than most of us who've been Christians for 30 or 40 years. That ought to drive us to the Word, folks. That's not part of the message. That's just a free add-on for you. Free guilt trip. Take that home, do what you will with it. You're welcome. I'm here for you, brother. So anyway, given her understanding of the Scriptures, while Gabriel doesn't tell her everything that the child will do in intricate detail, he doesn't give her, you know, a detailed prophecy and timeline of his life, he tells her enough for her to understand exactly who this child is. That's why a few verses later she says, "Henceforth, all generations will call me blessed." Why? Because she knew. She knew. She didn't understand why she was chosen, but she understood what she was chosen for. After all, Gabriel did expressly say that that holy thing, the Holy One, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. Now that tells her quite a lot, because this child is the Holy One, right? There's only one Holy One. In 1 Samuel, we're told, no one is holy like the Lord. This child that will be born is God incarnate, the Holy One. But just in case we don't capture the breadth of meaning in that fact, then let's look at the lyrics of that song, "Mary, Did You Know," to see just how the Scriptures informed Mary of who her child would be. Maybe at the same time we'll be reminded or maybe even more fully understand for the first time who Jesus is. And maybe with the Spirit's help, we'll get so excited that we'll have to go to everyone we say and say, "Hey, did you know?" Because in your bulletin there, you have the lyrics for that song. It begins, "Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water?" Now, most of us think there's no way she could have known that. I want to tell you that while admittedly Mary could not have foreseen the circumstances or the actual event of Jesus walking on the water, she knew from what the angel said that this child would be the divine God incarnate. And so from Scripture, yes, she knew that one day he at least could walk on water. Why? Because God walks on water. Remember, she knew the Scriptures, so we're going to reference a lot of Scriptures here, but in Job 9:8, we read of God that it is He which alone spreadeth out the heavens and treadeth upon the waves of the sea. In Psalm 77:19, the psalmist declares of the Lord, "Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known." So I want to suggest that it came as no surprise to Mary when Jesus walked on the water. And today for us, that helps us to see who Jesus is. He's God in flesh. Because only God can walk on water. The Scriptures tell us that. He goes on to ask, that the author of the song goes on to ask, "Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters?" Yes. Mary knew that her son would be salvation to many. After all, she named him Jesus. In Hebrew, Jesus is Yeshua and literally means "the Lord is salvation." When she was told to name this divine Son of God, Jesus, she knew exactly what he was coming to do. It's throughout the Scriptures. In Psalm 14:7, I think we referenced this a couple weeks ago. But in Psalm 14:7, David cries out, "Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion." And that word salvation in that verse, it's Yeshua. Even that far back, King David was waiting and praying for Jesus to come to save the sons and daughters of Israel. And Gabriel told Mary, "He's coming. And you shall call his name Jesus." Yes, Mary knew. Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? Now again, based on her familiarity with Scripture and based on what Gabriel told her, yes. Mary knew that this child was coming to make things new. See, Gabriel told her that God would give this child the throne of his father David. That is an unmistakable allusion to the anointed Messiah that God had promised. And the hallmark of Messiah's kingdom, according to the prophets, was the new covenant. In Ezekiel 11:19, the Lord says, "And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep mine ordinances, and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God." Friends, that's exactly what those of us who have been redeemed have experienced. The born again, or the born from above experience, is that new spirit being given to us and giving us life. It's that Holy Spirit that exchanges our stony hearts for hearts of flesh that finally do desire the things of God. When we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, He makes us new. That's why in 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul writes, "Behold, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." But Mary knew this. She knew that Messiah would bring a new covenant. Faithful Jews looked forward to that time. Even if they didn't quite understand what it would look like, they knew that Messiah would come and make things new. See, the problem isn't that they didn't believe Messiah would come. It's that they didn't believe that Jesus was Him. They didn't know He was the one. But Mary did. Yes, she knew. The song goes on, "This child that you delivered will soon deliver you." Did you know that? In Psalm 18:2, the hymnal of the faithful Israelites, we'll read what Mary must have sung many times throughout her life. "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." And later the same psalm reads, "I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved or delivered from my enemies." You know, with her people, Mary had spent all her life looking forward to the fulfillment of God's promise to His people to send Messiah. And Isaiah, among other things, depicts the Messiah as one who will deliver, who will set free the captives and proclaim liberty to those who are bruised. Messiah would be a deliverer. And so hearing from Gabriel that her child would inherit the throne of David forever and that he would be called the Son of the Most High, would it really be surprising to think that Mary realized that her baby would be that Messiah that would come to deliver her and her people? I mean, why else would she rejoice the way she did? Her response later in chapter 1 is more than simply the joy of having a child. She says about the Lord, "He has helped His servant Israel." How many of you, when you found out you were having, how many of you ladies, when you found out you were having a baby, probably most of us were like, "Well, thank the Lord, I'm going to have a child." How many of you said, "Thank the Lord, He's blessing America"? That'd be a little bit arrogant, wouldn't it? And yet that's exactly what Mary did, because she knew who her child would be. "He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy as He spoke to our fathers." See, Mary recognized that this child that she'd been called to deliver, yes, He would soon enough return the favor and deliver her. "Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man?" In Isaiah 42, the prophet speaks the word of God regarding the one that God calls my servant, whom I uphold, and my elect one, in whom my soul delights. Now, obviously, this is about the Messiah, right? In verses 6 and 7, God says of his Messiah, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and I will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light to the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes. Oh yeah, Mary knew. Folks, nothing Jesus did was on his own accord. Nothing he did was unplanned. He simply fulfilled God's word. So yes, Mary knew. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? And once again, that type of miraculous display, that would be unheard of and unfathomable for any mere mortal. Now, what would y'all think of me if we had a major storm coming through here and I said, give me a minute, and I go out there and start talking to the wind? You'd be calling the hospital, right? Because no mere mortal can do that. No one would expect a normal man to be able to calm a storm or to cause the winds to obey him. But Jesus was no normal man. And Mary knew this. He was the Son of the Most High, conceived within Mary by the Holy Spirit of God Himself. He is the Holy One who inhabits an eternal throne. He is the Son of God. Gabriel told her this much. And so, would this be difficult for God? Of course not. In fact, it would be expected. Mary knew who her child would be, so she wouldn't be surprised. After all, Psalm 107, verse 29 expressly says of the Lord, He maketh the storm calm, so that the waves thereof are still. This child will be the Son of God. Of course He will calm the storm with His hand. You know why? Because even when clothed in flesh, that's just what God does. Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Well, that'd be a hard thing for any of us to wrap our minds around, wouldn't it? Would anyone really be able to grasp that their little newborn baby has actually pre-existed in eternal holiness? And yet, Mary had all the information she needed in order to grasp this. She recognized, like we saw before, that this baby was the fulfillment of God's promise of mercy toward His people. She knew that He was the long-awaited Messiah. And yet, again, through Isaiah, she knew that Messiah was divine in nature. Isaiah 9:6 tells us His name. That wonderful Christmas passage, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Micah describes Messiah in speaking to the city of Bethlehem, saying, Out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. You know, the only one who can match that description is the Ancient of Days that Daniel saw, the Mighty God Himself. So yes, before coming to earth as a helpless baby, the Son of God resided in the highest heaven, attended by holy angels. Imagine the humility it took for Him to come. That little baby whose squishy face Mary must have kissed innumerable times. Because let's face it, how many of us love kissing our squishy little baby faces? I mean, that's part of the fun of having babies, right? You get to kiss that little squishy face. But that little face was the face of Almighty God. Mary cradled her very Creator. Imagine that. And yet, as hard as that is to fathom, because she knew Scripture and because of what Gabriel told her, somehow she knew it to be true. And she even says, "He that is mighty hath done to me great things." And the song goes on, "The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again, the lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb." All of these miraculous signs are messianic signs. Isaiah 35, 5 and 6 say, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing." In Zechariah 9:11, the Lord says, "By the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water." Folks, a pit wherein is no water is a euphemism for resurrection. Well, it's a euphemism for the grave. Rising from that pit is a euphemism for resurrection. Messiah will do all of these things and more. And because Mary knew that her child is Messiah, yes, she knew he would make these things come to pass. And the song kind of ends, "Mary, did you," or becomes, come, starts winding down, "Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations?" And again, these are marks of the Messiah. Psalm 72 speaks of Messiah's reign. In verses 8 through 11 say, "He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth." That's all the nations, folks. "They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies will lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him." Yes, he would one day rule the nations. Mary was told that her baby would inhabit the throne of David forever. And Isaiah tells us that of his government there will be no end. Yes, this baby is the Lord of creation with dominion to the ends of the earth. And he will rule the nations as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And so even if unable to express it in words, in her heart, Mary knew. Mary knew. "Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb?" You see, Mary also recognized that this child was not just a fulfillment of the promise to David. In verses 54 and 55 of Luke 1, she says, "He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." She recognized that this was a fulfillment of a promise to Abraham. So what was the promise spoken to Abraham and his seed? It was the promise of a kingdom, of a nation, and that Abraham would be a blessing to all the earth. But this promise was confirmed after Abraham proved his faithfulness. Abraham was called upon to sacrifice his son Isaac. So Abraham took the boy and prepared everything. And when Isaac asked, "Where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" So great was Abraham's confidence in the heart of God that he said, "My son, God will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering." Mary would have known that story. It would have been well known. And she would have been familiar with Isaiah's suffering servant who was consecrated fully to God for his use. How Isaiah says that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And so though it might have been hard to understand in the moment, somewhere deep inside, Mary had to have recognized that while Messiah would be ultimately triumphant, it wouldn't be without travail and suffering. After all, we couldn't deliver or save ourselves. We could not cleanse ourselves to offer us to God. God would have to provide for himself a lamb. And that's what he did in Jesus. Jesus is heaven's perfect lamb, a spotless offering to God that came from heaven itself. The sleeping child you're holding. Think of this. We love that song, Away in a Manger. But think of this. Jesus is born after all that goes on with that. The baby's asleep. And Mary's asked, did you know that that sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am? How can anyone process that? How does one look at this helpless child in their arms and see the enormity of who the child is, and yet somehow Mary knew. She knew that this is God in flesh. Now, how did she know? Well, Gabriel told her the Holy Spirit would cause her to conceive. No mere man would bring this to pass. In fact, no man could, because she was a virgin. She asked, how can this be? But as Gabriel answered her, I imagine that a light bulb in her memory flickered. Again, a flash of a promise from Isaiah in chapter 7. That of all people, a virgin would conceive and bear a son. But this would be no normal child. The biological impossibility kind of necessitates that fact. But this child would be called Emmanuel. God with us. God with us. This child, born of a virgin, would be in every way human. But he would also be God in flesh. The immortal, invisible, infinitely holy God would come and become mortal, visible, and be with us. How amazing is that? Yes, Mary knew. For every question that we may ask, Mary knew. She may not have foreseen the exact circumstances or the exact timetable. She may not have been able to articulate every point or express every idea. But in her heart, she knew, because she had received a message from God. She knew the Scriptures, and that prepared her to understand. But the bottom line is that when she heard a message from the Lord, she believed it. Yes, Mary knew who Jesus is. But like I said at the beginning today, the better question, the more important question is this. Do you know who Jesus is? Yes, Mary had the benefit of scriptural training and the big bonus of an angelic visitation. I mean, when you see a holy angel appear before you, it kind of gives a no-duh kind of credibility to what you're hearing, right? But for the questions that Mark Lowry asks in his song, we understand that Mary knew all of these things because she knew that Jesus is God in flesh, the promised Messiah. He is the Savior. Even his name, Jesus, Yeshua, means salvation. All of the miracles that Jesus did only confirmed for her what she already knew. But just like they were confirmation for her, they can be signs for us, pointing us to the truth of who Jesus is. Because who can walk on water? Only God. Who can give sight to the blind? Only God. Who can make the deaf hear and make the lame walk? Y'all can answer. You know the answer. Only God. Who can raise the dead? Only God. And who can forgive and save from sin? Only God. Jesus did all of these things. This proves he is the Messiah. He is the Christ, the anointed Holy One of God, that he is indeed God in flesh. And so maybe you ask how we can know that it's true. Well, friend, I'll tell you, I know it's true because he did it for me. When I was blinded to the truth and couldn't see how lost I was, Jesus opened my blinded eyes and let me see. When I was deaf to the call of the righteous judgment of God and couldn't hear his mercy calling me to repent, Jesus unstopped my ears and let me hear his voice. When I couldn't find the words or the will to be thankful or to offer worship to the one who is worthy, Jesus filled my heart and opened my mouth to sing praises. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. Only God can do that. When I was dead in sins and trespasses, when there was no spiritual life in me, Jesus raised me by the power of His Spirit. He caused me to live again and walk in newness of life. He made me new. I'm not what I once was. And He's still making me new, because I'm not yet what I one day will be by His grace. But He saved me. In 1986, He saved me. And even now, He is saving me. And one day, when I shed this body of flesh, He will save me for eternity to live with Him forever. See, folks, I may not see Him walk on water with these eyes, but I've seen the Lord do the impossible in my life. And when the storms of life rage around me, more than once I have gone to Him and found refuge. And He's calmed the storm, and the winds and the waves have obeyed Him. The storms may still rage outside, but He calms the storm within my soul. And I rest in Him. I know that it's true because He's done it for me and to me. And He can do the same for you if He hasn't today. See, you and I may not receive an angelic visitor, but like Mary, we do receive a word from the Lord. He speaks to us. He calls us. It's the only way we can truly know who He is. Jesus said, "No one can come unto me unless the Father who sent me draw him." So that's the work of the Holy Spirit. That voice, which at the same time is louder than an orchestra, but also softer than a spring breeze. Speaking to us, convincing us of our need for a Savior, drawing us to look to Jesus, showing us that it's all true. He draws us and shows us who Jesus is. So here's the thing. Mary knew. But what did she do with that knowledge? She surrendered to it. She wasn't married yet. She found pregnant while she was espoused, and that wasn't going to be easy for her in that society. And we'll just leave it at that, okay? Her life with Jesus was not going to be a bed of roses. And yet, knowing the difficulty she would face, she also reckoned the great privilege that would be hers. She counted the cost and said, "Behold, the handservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." In other words, she surrendered and said, "I'm your servant. Have thine own way, Lord. You're the potter. I'm the clay." Do you know who Jesus is today? Is the Holy Spirit drawing you, convincing you of your need, but also of who Jesus is? Do you know? And what I mean by that is, I don't mean, have you heard the stories? Have you been to Sunday school? I mean, do you know? How will you respond? You can rebel. We can always rebel. You can be stiff-necked. And in a way, truly, I get it, because it can be difficult to release one's pride. And just like for Mary, life with Jesus is not guaranteed to be easy. Actually, the opposite is true. We're guaranteed that in this life we will face tribulation. But we're also told not to fear, because He's overcome the world. If you rebel, you missed a great privilege of belonging to the One who created you. You missed the great blessing of being His. Folks, if you miss salvation, then you've missed everything that matters. So if you have yet to know Him and the joy of salvation. Will you surrender today and let the Lord have His way? If the Holy Spirit is drawing you, will you just give way to that? Seek Him. There's not a particular prayer or special magic words to pray. It's simply a matter of surrender and faith. And the Lord lets you know when you're His. It's recognizing who Jesus is and trusting Him alone and His plan. Will you do that today? But also, if you know the Lord today, if you really know who Jesus is, who are you telling? You see, that's really the point of the song, I think. It's just told from a unique perspective. We ought to be amazed by who Jesus is. And yet, for so many who profess to be His, He has become commonplace. The impossibility of the incarnation has become ho-hum to so many Christians. How is that? If we truly recognize and know who Jesus is, we ought to be so amazed by that reality that we're asking everyone we meet, "Hey, did you know?" Maybe in the future when we hear that song, let's look at it a different way. Let's ask the question differently, because Mary knew the Lord had spoken to her. So she knew, has the Lord spoken to you? Do you know? Do you really know who Jesus is? Do you really know Jesus? And what's more, this is more important, does He know you? Does He know you? I want to invite you to ponder that as we sing. And I want to invite you, if the Lord is dealing with your heart in any way, to seek Him for the salvation of your soul, to follow Him in some step of obedience that He's calling you to, follow His leading. Seek Him for salvation if you don't know Him today. This front area is open. If you need anyone to pray with you, we'll be happy to do so. But let the Lord have His way, however He may be leading today. Would you stand for a word of prayer, and then we'll continue to worship together. Lord, I want to thank You today for the absolutely mind-blowing reality of who Jesus is. And who Jesus is defines why He came. Lord, You came to save unworthy people like me. Why would You do that? I'll never understand, but I'm so glad You did. And Lord, I'm thankful that today You are still calling, leading, and delivering souls that will come to You in faith. I'm thankful that You are still directing, using, empowering those who know You and are led by Your Spirit to serve You. Lord, I thank you that You are still active. Move among us today, Lord. Have Your way among us. You know every heart. You know every need. And so, Lord, impress upon us to respond as You direct us, that in all things, Jesus Christ would receive the honor and the glory and the praise.